Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
The recent shootings in Connecticut put a spotlight on mental health, and we're wondering if another mass shooting can be prevented. Mental health assessments gives a doctor an overall picture of how well you feel emotionally and which of us is really in need of a mental health assessment. My guest is psychologist Dr. Bart Rossi. So, Dr. Rossi, in the wake of the devastation that happened, what causes generally something to snap? Because, you know, we all look around and we say, is that person likely to snap? And with all the concealed carry things now going through the Congress and everything, you wonder who is at risk for snapping and who isn't.
Well, that's a great question. First off, it's nice to be with you. I wish it could be under better circumstances. But to answer your question, what typically happens here is that we have a personality disorder, as psychologists talk about it, with a lot of retained anger and rage. And it really isn't a situation where someone just snaps because they've had a few bad days or even a few bad months. It's usually the result of a personality disturbance that's developed over time. And probably all of us are a little bit sensitive to this because we have an uncle or a cousin or an old friend who we don't really want to be around very much because we're afraid they might either explode or fly off the handle. But when you magnify this out with some of the folks in our society who have longstanding behavioral issues, then we have a problem in our very society where there of 300 some million people, where we have too many people who have this explosive type of personality, and it's out there.
So what takes that person's explosive personality and turns it into a mass crime? I mean, sometimes it's not even a devastating event in their life. Something just, and as a parent, Dr. Rossi, you know, we think to ourselves, how can we keep calm and not really blow at our kids? But this is way over and above that. What tips those scales?
Well, the tipping the scales for the shooters, people like this, is because they're really angry at the world. They actually feel that they're the victims. They feel that they've been victimized, in this case, either by mom or the family, and they transfer that out to be angry at the world, at society at large, and they really feel the need to strike back. Now, this is such an extreme example, but nonetheless, we do see it with individual shootings. We see it with shootings that are not quite as severe, but it's out there. I mean, we have people with mental health issues. And I know you want to focus on the mental health, and that's where I come in, where I really feel that mental health needs to be prioritized and not minimized in our society.
Absolutely it does. Now, are there signs, if somebody is not seeing a psychologist such as yourself, are there signs that maybe parents, because, you know, in the wake of this shooting, the father was saying, well, there were certain things he knew, or, you know, are there signs we should look for in people that we know and love that could say, you know what, this person really needs to get help, and now?
Absolutely. For example, especially in younger folks, but it could be for older people as well, if you see someone who is withdrawing, not very good socially, not interacting well, they're somewhat depressed, and a lot of times depression with some agitation. They feel that they're kind of on the outside. You know, they express themselves in very limited ways, and they feel like they don't belong. They're on the outside looking in. You see, with some of these people, you can pick up a sense of hopelessness, a sense of anxiety. If you see any or all of these features in people who are going kind of down a spiral, then these are signs that a person really needs very definite help. And you see it a lot with young adults, you know, young people, where they're not part of the peer group. Today, it's a lot easier to be ostracized than 20, 30, 40 years ago. You've got Facebook, you've got the phone with the pictures, you've got many, many different ways to feel that all of a sudden you're on the outside, you're the one that's rejected. You are the person who is not part of the peer group. And this all contributes to you know, where we are in this whole thing.
Well, and, you know, again, as a parent, we're learning so much more about bullying and the effects of that.
Right.
So we can keep our eyes on that ball anyway with Facebook and the phone and really sexting, all these things that could be seen as ways of bullying, to keep our eyes on that. But what about other kinds of mental illness? If you already know that someone has ADD or, you know, OCDs or some sort of bipolar, is that person then more at risk and you watch them a little closer for these types of episodes?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Not necessarily so. Like, even with this kid, they said he might have Asperger's or some type of syndrome like that. But there's no real evidence that type of a syndrome really projects out into this anger, rage, and resulting homicide. It's really more of what I was saying before about long-standing developmental behavior problems and personality disorders that really result in people becoming what we call, as psychologists, retained anger. And you know, you can see this, and you know, I'm sure, you know, we all have people that we see that, you know, over time they become more angry, they become more agitated. They're people that are difficult to be around. And if you can multiply that out a little bit, that's kind of where we are with these severe personality disorders in our society. And that's what makes me uncomfortable, you know, with guns. I mean, I'm a person who does believe, as a psychologist, in the Second Amendment, but I think that we really need to start looking at mental health issues. And the other point that I'd like to make is that mental health services, therapy, treatment today with cognitive behavioral approaches really is effective. I mean, it's so effective that millions of people who have gone through some type of counseling and are doing extremely well with cognitive behavioral therapy that helps people change their expectation levels. You can go through guided imagery and take people where they really want to go in their lives. And it's really sad that we have a stigma on mental health, and we're not bringing it to people who really need this kind of counseling.
Well, there has been a stigma on mental health, Dr. Rossi, for so many years.
Yeah.
And we seem to be sort of coming up out of the dark a little bit about it. But in the last minute or so, give us your best advice for spotting something and possibly getting somebody that we love, you know, into therapy, and what we should do to spot some of these symptoms.
Well, for sure, if someone is not interacting well and they seem more withdrawn, they really are not, they're socially inept or socially not very good at all. And maybe they were reasonably good, but now they're kind of going backwards. Also, you know, you see them with what we call, as psychologists, the flat affect. There's really no real excitement in their life and in the way they present themselves, and they seem that they're somewhat depressed. And you could also pick up with some of these people that they've kind of lost hope. All of those types of features are really good indicators that someone really needs help.
And even if it's a teenager, as
right.
This one was, can you tell the difference between normal teenage things, just about 30 seconds, and what's something that would be as devastating as this was?
Well, sure. Teenagers have, you know, lots of different weird features at times, of course.
They do. They're nuts anyway.
They do. But I'm saying that if the kid is really getting to be withdrawn, you see him on the outside of the peer group. He doesn't really have friends, or he's angry because he doesn't have friends. If it's really going down that road, then we have more serious issues.
Okay, so those are the things that we should look out for. And, you know, mental health needs to come up into the foreground so that we can see what's going on, get the people that we love the help that they need, and looking for the symptoms that somebody could, you know, sort of snap and go over the edge, because these things are so devastating. And our hearts go out to all the people suffering at this time. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD.